Reading before the lesson this morning will be in Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 16, reading through verse 39. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 16. And Paul stood up and beckoning with the hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, hearken. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they sojourned in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm led he them forth out of it. And for about the time of 40 years, as a nursing father, bare he them in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land for an inheritance for about 450 years. And after these things, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they asked for a king. And God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, to whom he also bare witness and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who shall do all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to promise, brought unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance unto all the people of Israel. And as John was fulfilling his course, he said, What suppose ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, the shoes of whose feet I am not worthy to unloose. Brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and those among you that fear God, to us is the word of this salvation sent forth. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, fulfill them by condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet asked they of Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all things that were written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen for many days of them that came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses unto the people. And we bring you good tidings of the promise made unto the fathers, that God hath fulfilled the same unto our children, in that he raised up Jesus, as also it is written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he hath spoken on this wise, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Because he saith also in another psalm, Thou wilt not give thy holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had in his own generation served the counsel of God, fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, brethren, that through this man is proclaimed unto you remission of sins. And by him every one that believeth is justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. That was Acts 13, verses 16 through 39.
As the Apostle Paul is sent out on the first preaching tour in Acts the 13th chapter by the church in Antioch of Syria, we learn in this chapter that he has traveled as far as Antioch of Pisidia. If you would look in your map or on your map, you would see the location of those places. But as he enters in among the people in verse 16, he addresses his sermon to those who are the men of Israel. I want to suggest to you that there is similarity between the sermon that the Apostle Paul preaches in Acts the 13th chapter in Antioch of Pisidia and the sermon that Stephen preaches in Acts chapter 7. Both of these men go back and give a history of the people of the Jews and bring the course of time down till the coming of Christ and the blessings that are offered through him. As we talk this morning about preaching the promise, I want to very simply give a brief view, as the apostle does in Acts the 13th chapter, of the history of God's people, and bring that forward to the blessings that we now enjoy in Christ. Certainly the promise of redemption was necessary in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. We read of the beginning of man. We also note that in chapter 1, or chapter 2 rather, that God had given a commandment unto Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In the third chapter, we read of the temptation, how that Eve was tempted, and she gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And then in Genesis chapter 3, and in verse 15, the text tells us, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." In the context of these verses, or this verse, we see the first promise that God has made unto man. Man now stands in need of something he's never needed before. He now needs forgiveness. And this is promised in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15. The text tells us that the seed of woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Thus, he would deal a very mighty blow, a fatal blow unto the serpent, extending then unto man the privilege of being forgiven of his sins. Time passes forward, and we're going to jump over a great deal of information. But as we come to Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, we read of a man who is called Abram. And beginning in verse 1, God said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and be thou a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curseth thee will I curse, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." In these three verses, we find that God has made three promises unto Abram, later called Abraham. He said unto Abram, "I will make of thee a great nation." He also promises unto Abram a certain land. We see that identified in particular in the 15th chapter, beginning in verse 18. We note also that God said unto Abram, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." In Genesis chapter 22, after Abraham is instructed to offer Isaac his son, and as he has proven his faith, God renewed this promise unto Abraham, and he worded it, "In thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed." So we learn that there are three promises: the nation promise, the land promise, and the seed promise. But it's imperative that we see that God keeps His promises. Hold your finger in the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter, and turn with me once again. You may want to hold your finger or put your marker in Acts, the 13th chapter. We're going to be coming back to that time and time again. But in Acts, the 13th chapter, after God has spoken concerning the promise made unto our fathers, then in verse 17, he continues, "And exalted the people when they sojourned in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm led he them forth out of it." God had promised unto Abram, "I will make of thee a great nation." At the time, Abraham did not have any children. But God said, "There's going to be a great nation that will descend from you." In verse 17 of our text, the Apostle Paul, speaking to those in Antioch of Pisidia, speaks concerning an exalted people, a people that sojourned in the land of Egypt, and they came out. Well, interestingly enough, we note that there were about 70 that went down into the nation of Egypt, but there were over 600 fighting men that came up out of the land of Egypt. Scholars tell us that somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 to 3 million people came up out of the land of Egypt as they were led by Moses across the Red Sea and came down to Mount Sinai where they were to receive the law. Exodus chapter 19, read it beginning in verse 5. There it says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be mine own possession from among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." When the Apostle Paul is preaching to these of Israel in Antioch of Pisidia in Acts the 13th chapter, he points out in verse 17 and 18, "And for about the time of 40 years, as a nursing father, bare he them in the wilderness, and when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land for an inheritance for about 450 years. And after these things, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Do you see Paul just skipping along the timeline, bringing us down to the present, to the fulfillment of the promise? Involved in this was indeed the fulfillment of the nation promise as God now identifies His people in Exodus chapter 19 as a holy nation. Paul affirms that this was indeed fulfilled. But let's notice this land promise that he makes. The land promise that he spoke unto Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 about is repeated in the text of Acts chapter 13. In verse 19, when he destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land for an inheritance. Interestingly enough, as Joshua brought them into the promised land, Joshua was told in Joshua chapter 1 that after the death of Moses, indeed he would be the one to lead the children of Israel into this promised land. In verse 6 of Joshua chapter 1, God said to Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Joshua would, and Joshua did. In Joshua the 11th chapter, reading beginning in verse 23, it says, "So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that Jehovah spake unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to the divisions of by their tribes, and the land had rest from war." Now you see how that the Apostle Paul, once again, is just skipping along the channels of time, emphasizing the promise that God had made unto Abraham. In Joshua chapter 21, Joshua records, "So Jehovah gave to Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt in it. And Jehovah gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. Jehovah delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not of any good thing which Jehovah had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." And it was almost as if Joshua supposed that someone would dispute or argue with that. So in Joshua chapter 23, just prior to Joshua dying, he said in verse 14, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed. Of all the good things which Jehovah your God spake concerning you, all are come to pass unto you. Not one thing hath failed thereof." God had promised this particular land. God has fulfilled His promise. And the Apostle Paul affirms that to be so as he speaks to these Jews in Antioch of Pisidia. But there's yet another promise that is to be fulfilled. "And when God said unto Abraham, In thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed." The New Testament writer, the Apostle Paul, identifies that for us. We don't have to wonder about who that is. And the reason we make that statement is that there are those who believe that the nation of Israel in some way was to be a blessing to all families of the earth. God was not promising Abraham that the nation of the Jews would be a blessing, but that the seed of Abraham would be a blessing, and Paul tells us who that is. In verse 16 of Galatians chapter 3, Paul writes, "Now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ." Who was it that would be a blessing to all families of the earth? Paul said, you see, that would be Christ. And that's the theme that Paul develops, speaking to these in Antioch of Pisidia. As he writes concerning the further history of the nation of the Jews, it says in verse 20, "And after these things he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet." Isn't that an interesting way to cover the whole book of Judges? He gave them judges. Samuel was the last of the judges. And then afterward, God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin. Saul became their first king. That gets you way down into the book of 1 Samuel. God gave them a king. And then in verse 22,
And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, to whom also he bare witness and said,